First off, I want to thank you all for supporting me, even though you guys all like six legs and I'm adding an extra pair of legs to my presentation. But so this is a review of sexual dimorphism in scorpions, and there are several features that are known of so far, and by which we can see the sexual dimorphism in characters, by which we can sex the scorpions. And some of those include pectins, which is pretty general and applies to most scorpions, and then there's the metasoma, which is the tail of the scorpion, and that works in a certain species that I'll talk about in this presentation, as well as the telson of the scorpion Aneroctonus phaeodactylus, and that's going to be the main character I'll focus on today. But starting off with the pectins, these are used in scorpions. They're on the ventral side, and they're like these comb-like structures that are used for chemosensory, and some experiments have been done that show that the pectins are used for mate location, as well as possibly food location. And as a scorpion walks, you can see them move their pectins to touch the ground and sweep the ground, looking for substrates. And this has been observed in mating behavior to be used by the male to sweep the ground and look for a teddy substrate for the deposition of the spermatophore, which is he places this basically biological device on the ground that's used to transfer sperm to the female, and it's external, and so he needs to place that on the ground in something that's steady enough that it won't fall over, and so the pectin are used in that. And so by looking at what the males use their pectin for, we can see that it is possible that they may develop pectin differently than females because they may use it more often for different uses. And so that's what we see in this picture here. And on the right here is a male of the species Aneroctonus phaeodactylus, and on the left is a female. And you can see that the male's pectin extend a little bit beyond the hindmost coxa, and in the female, they're still very tucked under the abdomen. So we think that this is primarily just because the males need larger pectin for feeling around on the ground and finding a good substrate for the spermatophore. Whereas females don't need that, they only need a few of the pectinal teeth for chemosensory. And the problem with using pectins to sex a scorpion is that it's a very general technique. In many cases, the scorpions will have, you can number the pectinal teeth, but the numbers tend to vary from specimen to specimen, and there's quite a bit of overlap between females and males when counting the pectinal teeth. With the length also, depending on the life stage of the scorpion, whether it's fully grown or not, you may have different differences in length, and so it's entirely comparative. You have to already know what the female looks like or what a male looks like and compare your current specimen to a female or male in order to get some idea as to whether you're looking at a female or male. So this isn't the most reliable, but it is probably the most widely used since it seems to apply to most scorpions. This is another structure that I've noticed. I was looking at some of my specimens, and particularly at the Aneroctonus phaeodactylus, and noticed that the males have this bulb on the aculeus, which is the tip of the sting, and the females do not. So that's the male on the right and the female on the left. And the key I was using pointed this bulb out to be the main feature in its determining whether this is Aneroctonus phaeodactylus or another species. And so I began to think that this was something new that I stumbled upon, but further research into the literature proved that a revision on the family Uridae by Stonk, or Franck and Solglad had already established that this is a sexually dimorphic character. However, as with the pectin, we can look at the behavior of the males and females and see how the males may have evolved to have that different structure compared to the females, whereas so far we don't know very much about the biology of Aneroctonus phaeodactylus and aren't really sure why this bulb would have formed in the males. And that's a question that remains to be answered. So I'm currently in the process of trying to devise ideas and experiments that may test possible uses for this, but right now it's completely in the preparatory phase. Nothing's been decided yet, but that is the most interesting question that I found while looking up the sexual dimorphism of these creatures. And the last example we have is this of Urodactylus elongatus, and this is a specimen from Australia. And once again here we can see a reason for the dimorphism between the males and females. The males tend to have an extremely long metasoma. Their tails are much longer than the females. And with the females, they tend to be really aggressive, and as soon as the male tries to initiate a mating dance, the females try to sting them and often aim for the body and give a fatal sting to their counterpart. And so it seems that because of this aggressive behavior by the males, or by the females, then the males have developed a longer tail so that they can hold the female counterpart at pedipalp's length, I guess, and keep them far away so that they can do what's called the sexual sting, which doesn't kill or harm the female, but just calms her down so that she's receptive to mating. And so he's able to reach her with that sexual sting before the female is able to fatally wound him. And so these are some of my references, but just once again, in closing, the main thing here is that we see in some of the different characters that there's definite reason for these, and yet for some of the characters we don't know exactly why the dimorphism has occurred that way. And so I'm looking forward to, in the future, looking more into why these dimorphic characters have arisen and what use they are to their various sexes. Thank you. Yes.
So what kind of experiment are you thinking about doing to look at that second kind of strength?
Well, before I come up with that...
Can you repeat the question?
Oh, so the question is, what kinds of experiments am I planning on doing to test what that bulb on the end of the sting of the male might be used for? And right now I don't really have any experiments in mind. I think the first step for me is to try to think of ideas for what it might be used for, and then test those ideas. And right now I'm really struggling for coming up with ideas. The best thing I've come up with is that perhaps some males were overzealous in the sexual sting and may have stung too deeply or something of that nature, and so the bulb on the telson may prevent that, and that may have evolved that way. But again, in that case, there's no real way to test it that I can think of, but I'm still working on that idea.
Any other questions?
Yes. Is sexual dimorphism visible, apparent in most scorpions? Again, with the pectins, it is quite noticeable with most species, but with other characters, it really depends on the species, whether or not there are dimorphic characters. So we don't see them in all the species.